Bill Kristol from the Weekly Standard joining me. Goodness sakes, Bill, you and I could talk about all sorts of things. Syria, the Israel strike on the Iranian weapons shipment and the like. But we got to start with Benghazi. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Bill, these hearings in the House this morning, what has to happen? What has to be said to put Benghazi back into the national headlines?
I think the congressman need to be quiet, basically, and let these witnesses tell their say their bit. I mean, these are non-political, career government employees. One, a 22-year Foreign Service officer. The others, Foreign Service officers. I think they're genuinely outraged by what the administration did and didn't do in terms of the days and weeks and months before September 11, 2012, what happened on that day and the next day, and then the cover-up afterwards. And I just hope the Republican congressmen are intelligent enough not to kind of grandstand and pontificate, and I hope the Democratic congressmen don't try to simply, out of party loyalty, defend what I think is really an indefensible performance by the Obama administration.
Now, these witnesses include Mark Thompson, who was the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Counterterrorism, Gregory Hicks, the number two man in Libya, former deputy of mission in that country, and Eric Nordstrom, a regional security officer in Libya who had testified previously in October, saying that the biggest impediment to keeping safe in Libya wasn't the Taliban, it was the State Department.
Yeah, and I don't know any of them personally, but I don't imagine anyone in Congress does. I think they're well-respected Foreign Service officers, especially Hicks, 22 years, DCM, Deputy Chief of Mission, number two to the ambassador in Libya, an important assignment. I read his bio quickly online. He looks like a straightforward State Department type, probably personally kind of liberal, I would guess. Appalled by the failure to react to help Ambassador Stevens, and then appalled by what Susan Rice and others in the administration said afterwards. I don't think we should lose sight. The hearing is not the only thing that's going on. You know, my colleague Steve Hayes obviously had this article where he got access to the talking points, how they were edited in the immediate aftermath of the attack, removing every reference to al-Qaeda. And then we have the invention of the video, the YouTube video by Susan Rice and by the administration. Obama talks about it 10 days later in his UN speech as an important part of the story. And there really was a kind of shameful effort to disguise what had happened, to disguise the fact that it was an al-Qaeda-affiliated attack on Americans, not just some kind of riot that got a little wild.
A protest and that turned into a riot that became an attack.
Right, but there was no protest in the first place in this case. And
no riot, just an attack.
Right, just an attack, a well-organized attack, including an attack with al-Qaeda members who were had come in from elsewhere, apparently, to be part of this attack, right? So it was planned. And, you know, the truth is the administration said that and said, look, you know, maybe we should have done a better job in security, but we're in a global war with these guys. And unfortunately, in this case, they launched an attack and took some lives. I think the American public would have said, okay, well, I mean, maybe you could have done better. We should look at our embassy security and the like. But they said, we are in a global war. It's not, you can't stop everything. But they were so concerned less than 2 months before the election. I do think that's the true motive here. For Obama to be winning the war on terror, for al-Qaeda to be decimated, for nothing to interrupt that narrative. Remember, Obama just 10 days before had spoken at the Democratic Convention and posted about how al-Qaeda was on the run. So I think that's got to be a large part of the motive for the cover-up. I mean, government never likes to look, somewhat incompetent, and no one likes to have a setback on his watch. But I think the kind of almost crazy attempt to sort of to whitewash this whole thing and to not allow the public just to see what had happened, see the truth, I think it's got to be explained by the re-election campaign.
Now, I've been directing people all week to the Weekly Standard story by Stephen Hayes. It was Steve Hayes who got the original CIA talking points and showed how they had been altered, that references to Islamic extremism and al-Qaeda were stricken from the talking points. And replacement language went in that somehow all of a sudden blamed this on a demonstration provoked by the Muhammad video that got out of hand. Even though this attack took place with rocket-propelled grenades and a sustained mortar shelling.
No, it's really terrible. And really, the president's personal behavior is pathetic. I mean, he has a previously scheduled meeting early that evening in Washington time, 5 p.m., I think, with Secretary of Defense Panetta and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They discussed this attack, which had just begun at that point. And the president never talks again, Panetta later testified, never talks again with the Secretary of Defense or his chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He seems to have entirely delegated this. He went to, he had a long phone conversation with the Israeli prime minister, one that really was, I think, driven by his own political wish to look like he was pro-Israel. Obama's, they had time to write up a press statement about that conversation that evening. And then, so far as we know, he goes to sleep. He doesn't do much. He doesn't do anything. Certainly doesn't talk. I don't think he talks to the Secretary of State. I'm not sure when he next talks to the Secretary of State. He certainly doesn't talk to any while this is happening. He doesn't get involved in saying, could we rescue these guys? What's going on there? He doesn't place a call to the president of Libya. Nothing like that.
Now, are there any, Bill Kristol, my guest here from the Weekly Standard, Bill, have there been any Democrats who have, put politics aside and have stood up and said, we really do need to learn the truth here because it's very disturbing? Everyone admits that the original White House version was not credible, was incorrect. The White House says, yes, but it was the best information we had at the time. We're getting evidence to the contrary. Let's find the truth. Do you see any Lieberman-esque Democrats standing up?
It sure hasn't been much. I mean, one congressman on TV this weekend said he was disturbed or something like that, but it's depressing, really, that, I mean, now that the election's over, particularly, you think they would say, well, gee, we really do need to know what happened. But I think everyone's scared if they turn over that rock. The people who coordinated these talking points at the National Security Council, Ben Rhodes, Dennis McDonough, probably the key people. McDonough's now the White House Chief of Staff. Ben Rhodes is a very senior National Security Advisor to the president. Hillary Clinton, they want to protect her reputation as well, obviously. So I don't think there's much eagerness among Democrats to turn over that rock. They're terrified about what they'll find. And it is part incidentally of a broader pattern, in my view, of the Obama White House politicizing everything and also just on the substance, not being strong on national security at key moments of crisis, which this was one.
What I find ironic is that when the White House is caught falsifying information for political purposes, the people who point this out are accused of playing politics.
Right, absolutely. And that's what their spin is. If you look at the New York Times this morning and AP, they both have stories. They having not covered this at all, having not covered Steve Hayes' revelations about the talking points, having not covered the Foreign Service officers' revelations, we'll see what they cover today. They have articles this morning basically saying, well, political hearing, Republicans going after Hillary for 2016. It's really a disgrace. I mean, whatever respect one had for the mainstream media, it's really got to be gone by now, which means the rest of us have to keep pursuing this. And I really think seriously making the case of how serious this is, a serious matter. It's not something that happened a long time ago, as Jay Carney said. It does still matter who did what. What does accountability mean if government can just do this and get away with it?
Did you hear Pat Smith's interview, the mother of Sean Smith, the information officer slain in the first attack with Ambassador Stevens? Did you hear what she said?
I read the transcript, yeah. It was very powerful.
She said when Anderson Cooper said, play Jay Carney saying, well, Benghazi was a long time ago. She said, yes, it was a long time ago. So where are the answers?
Right. Right.
Sounds reasonable to me.
Anyway, it does sound reasonable. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens in this hearing today. I'm glad you guys are focused on it. We're going to try to stay focused on it. I just think it's important, honestly, and it's not really politics. I mean, if this were a Republican president, this kind of thing had happened, it would be perfectly appropriate to ask these questions. And it is, I hope some Democrats step up and ask them.
Weekly Standard doing some excellent work. I'll tell you what guarantees it becomes a front page story. If one of those witnesses today testifies that Hillary Clinton did not tell the truth and she knew she wasn't telling the truth when she addressed the Senate on this, that makes it a scandal.
Yeah, I guess that's right. That's right. But there are other people in the White House today, including the Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, who was probably involved in guiding Susan Rice as to what to say on that Sunday, and she totally misled the American people.
Bill Kristol, The Weekly Standard, thanks very much for joining me. Always great having you here, Bill.
Hey, thanks, John.
You got it.